This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Congressman Ro Khanna is going to be with us shortly to take your calls for the hour at 202-808-9925. He's in a meeting or a vote or something like that. In the previous hour, we've been asking this question, and I think it's a really important one. If there's even a possibility that the President of the United States is essentially a traitor to the United States, if he has committed treason, I mean, if that's what's going on. Oh, it looks like the congressman is there. Oh, cool. Let's pick up Congressman Ro Khanna. Congressman Ro Khanna is the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, represents the state of California in the U.S. House of Representatives, the 17th District of California. Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A .house.gov is the website. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna. Congressman, welcome back.
Great to be back on, Tom. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too, and thank you for coming on and taking people's calls. What's at the top of your mind right now? We spent the last hour on the show discussing, you know, is it Trump's loyalty to oligarchs who hate government, you know, these libertarian oligarchs who think that if they can shut the government down. In fact, there were comments made back when Newt Gingrich first shut down the government by some of these same people that, you know, the shutdown of the government, if it could last a whole month, would prove, you know, 1/12 of a whole year would prove that we really don't need most of this government stuff. We could do away with a lot of it. So there's the oligarch sales pitch. Then there's the Russian sales pitch. Is he shutting down the government to harm the United States as part of a larger campaign to harm the United States that's being orchestrated by Putin or somebody else? Or is it just his nature to love oligarchs? You know, this is his worldview growing up as an oligarch himself, that Duterte and Erdogan and Sisi and, I mean, you know, what's his name down in Brazil? I want to say Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro. Yeah. You know, that these guys, that this is just how he thinks. I mean, what are your thoughts on what is going on right now in the White House?
You know, my view is probably simplistic, but he made a campaign promise on building this wall, and he thinks that's what got him reelected, and he's convinced that's what's going to get him reelected. He believes he defied all the odds the first time, and all the pundits were wrong, and he probably thinks the same thing this time. He doesn't believe in polling because he thinks he's got this magical turnout. And so I think he's wrong, but he believes he's winning. And the problem is that he's so convinced that in his own greatness of winning that campaign that he's got far too much confidence in his own political judgment.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's a very straightforward explanation for it all, too. Remarkable stuff. Shall we pick up some phone calls here?
That'd be great.
Okay, Congressman Ro Khanna is taking your calls for the hour at 202-808-9925. Joe in Cupertino, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Congressman. Democracy's alive and well. I just got back over the weekend from the big, California Dem vote for our delegates. It was widely attended. There must have been 300 people there, and we stood in line for 2 hours, and it was the best experience I've ever had. I got to suggest that's something to do. Anyway, when we last spoke, I mentioned to you about the BDS, and you rightfully came out with your own opinion. The next day, though, you came in opposition to PAYGO, and you eloquently quoted Paul Wellstone. I mean, I don't need to go into what the quote was, but this Wellstone was very close to me as a young kid coming up, and his death was so tragic. And as we sit here and we talk about what was going on with the Iran-Contra affair and how there was a relationship between Cheney and this that I never got to run to ground. It just makes me sick to my stomach to think that this could be going on again. At any rate, I'm calling to speak to you about House Resolution 438, being forwarded by the Senator, Congressman Bergman. Is it Bergman or is it Sherman? Sherman, beat Bergman. And Congressman Brad Sherman's a Harvard Law graduate, as you are. He thinks that the case has been made in public, and I agree, that the Democrats need to proceed to the Judiciary Committee with Nadler and start the process, because if the government is shut down for another month, and it appears it's going to, there's no end in sight, we have 800,000 people whose health insurance is not going to be covered. How else can we force Senator Mitch McConnell to do anything if we don't proactive? Or if you can support 438 if it's brought to the paper. Maybe convince Nancy to do this as a way to get the government to reopen without funding any stupid idea of an un-American border. That is ridiculous. As I stood in line,
hey, Joe, let's get the congressman's response. Hey, Congressman.
Well, Joe, I appreciate it. I agree that the president is acting in a way that is abusing his authority. Imagine for a minute if we had a Democratic president, if Bernie Sanders had been elected and he had said, if I don't get the Republicans to vote for my Medicare for All bill, I'm going to shut down the government. You would have people calling him a traitor on Fox News. You would say that they would be saying this is an abuse of the executive office. And there's no reason to set a precedent that a president for their own political causes can shut down the government. And Larry Lessig had a great piece about how that's unconstitutional. I do think we ought to challenge that in the courts. I haven't looked at Sherman's resolution. I'll look at it. My view, if you're talking about the impeachment proceedings, though, is that the strongest case of wrongdoing is still going to be made by Bob Mueller. That report is going to come out, in my view, in the next month or two. And I have confidence in Nancy Pelosi and the leadership and Jerry Nadler and judiciary to handle that in a deliberate but expeditious manner.
Great. Tom in Chicago, listening to WCPT. You're on the air with Congressman McConnell.
Thanks, Congressman, for taking my call. Tom, you too. You do a great job. This is an observation, then a question. I saw something alarming last week during the NFL playoffs. A commercial came on the air, not by any one corporation or any one particular corporation, but on behalf of all corporations. Hmm. Saying, in essence, that corporate America had the expertise, the knowledge, and the wherewithal to solve all our big societal problems, including, unbelievably, global warming, which they're responsible for, in my opinion. But I was stunned. I was too stunned to get any details. But the gist of it was that corporate America, and only corporate America, not the government, can solve our problems. So my question is there anything that the government can do now or perhaps after 2020 to win the marketing war and convince people that the government is a force for good and has done many wonderful things that we all benefit from, like basic science research, you know, which led to the internet and medical advances, interstate highways, man on the moon, defeating Nazism, all that stuff. We're losing the marketing war. The government is.
Tom, I would add to that that in 1981, when Reagan was inaugurated, and he said, "Government is not the source; is not the solution to our problems. Government is the source of the problems. Government is the problem." At that point in time, over 80% of Americans thought government was a force for good. Today, that number is 16%. Congressman, your thoughts?
Well, I think the caller raises an outstanding point, and it's the central challenge, frankly, for those who are progressives, which is to convince people that government can be trusted, and government is a force of good and has been a force of good and has been what has propelled American innovation and America's lead. I mean, the caller mentioned the innovation regarding basic science at the National Science Foundation. Of the 210 prescription drugs that have been approved by the FDA, every single one of them was funded by NIH research. There is extraordinary work being done at DARPA that basically Silicon Valley wouldn't exist if it weren't for the internet that originally was invented in DARPA and the mouse that originally was invented in at DARPA. So yet somehow, and since Reagan, there has been a systematic attack on the role of the government, and I agree with the caller that we've been losing that marketing war to corporations and the private sector. I think a marketing campaign on what the United States government is capable of doing and has done is not a bad idea. I think that should be probably part of an agenda of the next president who does believe in government.
Congressman Ro Khanna on the line taking your calls for the hour. He represents the 17th District of California. He is the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. His website is Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A dot house.gov, and you can tweet him at Rep Ro Khanna, R-E-P-R-O-K-H-A-N-N-A, Rep Ro Khanna. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Khanna in just a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Your chance to talk with Congressman Ro Khanna, vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, right after this. And welcome back. Dennis in Ridgefield, Washington, watching on Free Speech TV. Dennis, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, good morning, Tom and Congressman. I'd just like to point out that Donald Trump is a wordsmith. If nothing else, the man knows how to read a script. When he says, "I am not working for the Russians," he's probably speaking accurately. Working with, in concert with, or any other word you want to use is true, but he's not working for. Now, why do we keep getting hung up on that one word? Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to our republic. I'm 67 years old, and I have never seen anything like this. I've never seen the media work for Donald Trump as they have. Everyone from Joe Scarborough to anybody on Fox, they all fawned over this man. No one would pity him now. Why, sir, why not simply ask Trump, okay, you're not working for the government. Are you working for the Russians? Are you working in concert with the Russians? Pick any word you want to use. Ask it forever. That's all.
Well,
I'd like to hear.
All right. I agree that he is probably obfuscating the problem with the president, though he blatantly lies. I mean, he even if you asked him, well, are you working with the Russians or in concert with the Russians, or if the Russians helped you anyway, in any way, he's going to issue a flat-out denial. I mean, this is a president who isn't, frankly, that careful with his words and has no shame about lying and obfuscating when it suits his ends. So I think the only way to hold him accountable is to really have a much stronger presence by Congress. And now that we're in the majority, it's going to be our obligation to hold oversight hearings, to have Mueller come in and testify. We're going to have Cohen coming in and testifying over at the oversight hearing, and making sure all of this becomes public and we go where the investigations lead.
Gabe in Franklin, Tennessee, watching on a Roku box on Free Speech TV. Gabe, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna. And we have just a minute, 15 seconds to the break. If you could ask a quick question, please, Gabe.
Did you say James or Steve?
Whoever you are, tell me your name.
Okay, this is James. Yeah, I'm going to ask about 5G. They're going to put on every light pole in this country. Now, maybe he's talking to death there since they already got it in California. But in other countries has already rejected this. It causes multiple diseases, and it's military-grade radiation. And for all you listeners out there, whether they do anything about this or not, y'all get on this and check it out for yourself.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Gabe is talking about 5G, Congressman. I don't quite share his concern, but your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that we need to make sure that the country is hooked up to the fastest possible internet service and cell service, but we need to do it safely. And if there are health concerns or environmental concerns, those need to be looked into. And I encourage Gabe to contact our office or other offices to make sure that we're looking into what he is talking about.
Yeah, the weird contrast is that 5G is operating at these very, very high frequencies that are millimeter wave frequencies. They're like the ones that they use to scan you at the airport. They can't penetrate the skin. That means that they also don't penetrate walls very effectively, which means that they have to crank it out at higher, radiation levels. But it's
right.
Not ionizing radiation. It's not the kind of radiation that appears to cause damage. So, you know.
Look at that, Tom. You've got a science background, too.
Well, yeah, I studied electrical engineering. That was where I started in college, and, ham radio operator, all that
Supreme
stuff.
Supreme Court doctrine, but here you're waxing about scientific principles.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, Congressman Ro Khanna, taking your calls for the hour. Alan in Crown Point, Indiana, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, Congressman, this border situation has been going on for years, and it doesn't seem like anybody wants to touch it. What same remedy do you have for it?
Well, first of all, the biggest issue is people overstaying their visas. Secondly, everyone is focused on the issue itself, which is making sure we don't have drug traffickers, we don't have terrorists coming across the border, we don't have sex trafficking. We ought not to be diverting those resources into prosecuting people who are seeking asylum. What we ought to be doing is enforcing our borders humanely and securely, and beefing up the amount of immigration judges that we send to the border, beefing up people who can process these claims, making sure that people are treated with respect and in a humane way. The border wall is going to do nothing to improve our security or to deal with this situation. And finally, the most comprehensive solution is to help make amends for the destabilization that we've caused in Honduras and Guatemala and some of these nations so that people don't have an incentive to flee those countries.
Eric, in Burlington, Iowa, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, Congressman, I'll make two quick points. First, we got to play chess, not checkers, so why don't you guys call Trump on this? Why don't you guys introduce legislation to shame him? And he says things like, oh, I didn't collude with Russia. You say, oh, well, Mr. President, you probably did. So what we're going to do is introduce legislation that if you did, or anybody did, not you certainly, then you get 20 years in prison, no possibility of parole. And then you do something like if they say about the fairness doctrine, I mean, oh, the liberal media, there are liberal media out there. You say, yeah, we're going to pass a law that says no more liberal media law. What we're going to do is we're going to introduce the fairness doctrine. You know, that, I mean, you got to get ahead of these guys. You got to start using their own tactics against them. Something newsworthy. Yeah, I know it'll never pass McConnell, but these are the kind of things that you can make your point by defining the ground you stand on. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I certainly support the fairness doctrine, and every time people point out the bias on a Google search or Facebook, I said the biggest bias in this country is places like Fox News, and there have been reports that have shown that they've actually had the biggest impact on the election, where cable news watch shows, and they're basically have become propaganda stations for a particular point of view with no fairness doctrine. So I absolutely believe we should reintroduce the fairness doctrine. We do it every Congress, but maybe we can do it in a more high-profile way, as you're suggesting. In terms of the president's criminal possibility, I mean, that has been very, very clear that he is subject to that, and Nadler has made that point. If there is evidence of wrongdoing, and if Mueller's report finds that, I mean, that they have this view that the president is somehow completely above the law and can't be prosecuted for anything, and I think that just defies any common sense understanding. I mean, if the president kills someone, obviously he still has some criminal responsibility. So we will continue to make the point that the president isn't above the law, that these are very serious accusations. Some of them could possibly be crimes, and that we need to let the independent prosecutor, Mueller, do the report. I am not for us being the prosecutors, because then it makes it political. I think we have to say that there are independent people who are doing this, and they're going to come up with the conclusions.
Richard in Forest Hills, New York. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, I was just wondering whether anyone has posited legalizing marijuana by the federal government and letting Trump use those tax dollars that they get from legalizing it to build his wall.
Interesting.
Well, Cory Booker, Barbara Lee, and I have a bill to legalize marijuana. It's called the Marijuana Justice Act. And it would also expunge the convictions of people who just were in jail for the possession of marijuana. There are a lot of good uses for the revenue. I don't think building a wall is the best use of or a good use of that revenue. I'd rather we put that revenue into education or into creating jobs in communities that were ravaged by the drug war or into universities that maybe historically black colleges or Hispanic serving institutes where the drug war really had the worst impact.
Yeah, that's a very, very big issue. Is, you know, it's really a fun. We got about 20 seconds left, Congressman. It's really a fundamental issue about where our priorities lie. Is it not?
It is in terms of the marijuana legalization. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that we're destroying so many kids' futures. They get a conviction on a marijuana possession, and then they can't get employed. And then they're in the cycle where they're in and out of jail. And it's one of the biggest injustices right now. It's a racial justice issue.
Yeah, amen. Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls for the hour. If you'd like to speak with Representative Khanna, 202-808-9925. His website, Khanna, khanna.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
In addition to representing the 17th District of California, Congressman Khanna is also the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. We'll be back with your calls for him in just a moment. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And Congressman Ro Khanna is on the line taking your calls for the hour. And Marta in Big Bear Lake, California, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hello, Congressman Khanna and Tom. My question is, how can we promote good relations with Russia instead of conflict? And what should we do, you know, to build peace and constructive dialogue? Do we, you know, does our CIA, can our CIA maybe pull out of, or, you know, or end some of their counterproductive activities? For example, you know, we've had so much conflict in Syria and Ukraine. How can we be better?
Well, I appreciate the question. I think we have to divorce or make a distinction between two separate issues. There is the issue of Trump's potential collusion with Russia to win an American election. And there we should have zero tolerance, and we should make sure that we investigate, and we should make it very, very clear to the Russians that we do not want them interfering in our elections, and there will be consequences if they do that again, and we need to get to the bottom of what happened with Donald Trump and whether there was any collusion. Separate from that, though, we don't want to stoke another Cold War with Russia. I mean, that's basically what Putin would want, and we'd be playing into his hands, and this is why it's a mistake for us to be pulling out of arms control treaties that were negotiated. We should be, in fact, working towards getting into further arms control agreements with Putin, not trying to pull out of them. We ought to look at making sure we're not pushing NATO's expansion too far. I think it was a strategic mistake initially to insist that NATO may expand to Ukraine or Georgia, and that may have given Putin the excuse to try to annex part of Ukraine. I mean, Putin is to be blamed for that action, but it was perhaps unnecessarily provocative to talk about the expansion of NATO to the extent we have. And then we need to look at working with Russia where we can on regional situations. In Syria with Assad, initially there was a proposal for a peaceful transition from Assad that the Russians had. We thought we would succeed by trying to oust Assad through the rebels and counterinsurgency, and we underestimated how difficult that would be. So making sure that we actually are going to the diplomatic place when there's multilateral solutions required like there was in Syria. But again, my broad point is Democrats should talk about holding the president accountable with Russia without surrendering to a rhetoric of the Cold War.
Mark in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yes, I have a quick question about the media. I'm under the understanding that there are many parts of our country that almost exclusively get right-wing media. And I'm wondering if this is true, first of all, and what we would do to approach this. How do we balance our media so that people are getting accurate information?
Well, it is true. I mean, there are certain local channels that only play particular perspectives if they're owned by a particular company. And then there are other places where people just choose to tune in to Fox News or conservative talk radio. The only thing I can think of that would fix that is if you had something akin to the Fairness Doctrine where you required these cable companies or talk radio hosts to put on the alternative perspective. But absent the Fairness Doctrine, it becomes very difficult to do that. I mean, you have Sinclair, which reaches so many homes around this country. It's a lot of the cable. And my understanding is they basically run slanted political commentary in those local stations that they control.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that the Fairness Doctrine would have addressed, because it addressed editorial stances by ownership or management, and that's when you had to have the rebuttal. But the ownership rules that got blown up in 96 with the Telecommunications Act, that's, I think, 90% of the problem. I wrote an op-ed about this a couple last week. I'll forward a copy of it to
you,
Congressman.
Please do.
Joe in Burbank, California, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, Tom, is that Joe?
That's you, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, Congressman Khanna, thank you for coming on Tom's show. Between you and Congressman Pocan, we really are getting well informed. My question is about the corporate Dems versus the progressive Dems in the party. I mean, out here in Los Angeles, we have a teacher strike, and the L.A. school superintendent is Austin Buettner, and he's a former hedge fund manager. And we look at the infiltration of money in our own party. How are we going to deal with that?
Well, I appreciate your mentioning Mark Pocan. He is our co-chair of the Progressive Caucus. He is doing an outstanding job. I don't think the Progressive Caucus has ever been stronger under his leadership, so I have a lot of respect for him. I've tweeted out my support for the strike. The strike is based on some very simple principles down in L.A. Basically, teachers want more pay. They deserve more pay. 20% of L.A. Unified right now is being run by charter schools through private companies that aren't allowing unionization, and those charters don't have to take kids with disabilities or kids who don't have English as a first language. And these teachers are saying, stop the privatization of our school district by just handing out these charters. That was never the intent of the charter school movement. Charters were supposed to be laboratories for innovation within public schools, not moves to get rid of unions and privatization. So I definitely think Democrats should stand on the side of the teachers in that strike. Your point about corporate Democrats who have a greater corporate bent is true, and it's an ideological fight. And we need to win it. The good news is in the House, the Progressive Caucus is up to 90 people, and I do think we're winning, and certainly we've made a tremendous amount of progress over the past years.
John in Auburn, California, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Good morning. It's an honor to speak to both of you gentlemen. What I have to ask is whether you, Mr. Khanna, or any other congressional members see the lifting of sanctions off of Oleg Deripaska as a possible way of the president making Paul Manafort whole and therefore sending a signal to him or a thumbs-up signal to stay strong in that prison cell and a possible implication of a pardon to come and therefore another form of obstruction of justice.
It would be speculation, but it could be what he's trying to do. I would remind people like Manafort that the president can simply pardon from federal crimes, and Manafort would still be prosecuted under state crimes that he may have committed. But I believe this president would do almost anything to avoid prosecution himself, avoid people flipping on him, and protecting his close friends and family. And that is why we need to get to the bottom of this, and Bob Mueller will. I am full confidence. So I am very much looking forward to reading his report and then standing up to make sure that we do what he recommends.
John in Midland, Texas. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Buenos dias, senores. My question to the gentleman is this chaotic situation making our country vulnerable for our enemies, for us?
You're talking about the shutdown, John?
Yes.
Well, in some ways it is. I mean, the Coast Guard, I was told today from people in my district, I represent a Northern California district in Silicon Valley, and folks were saying that some of the Coast Guard doesn't have fuel for ships and that it may reduce the amount of inspection it's doing on incoming ships and drugs potentially coming in from those ships. The irony for a president who cares about border security is he's defunding our border patrol agents and our border agents who actually do the security, or our Coast Guard. So it is having an impact on our security. But more than that, it's having an impact on our leadership. If you believe, as I do, that the fundamental question of the 21st century is whether a system, a democratic system, with largely free enterprise like America, is going to be a model to the world, or is it going to be a more authoritarian structure like China, let me tell you, we're not doing ourselves any favors when the rest of the world looks at this and say, look at the mess in America. Having competent government here is the best case we can make for democracy around the world.
Congressman, we just have a minute to the break, to a hard break here. In 1985, the Reagan administration rolled out this idea called Starve the Beast. That was the first documented use of that phrase from an administration official during the Reagan administration. And the idea was, we're going to break parts of government and then point out to everybody how broken they are, and then use that as the case for privatizing this. They've done this with Social Security. They've done this with Medicare. They've done this with the Affordable Care Act. The list just goes on and on and on. Do you think that this shutdown is part of that Starve the Beast philosophy? The Republicans have been doing this literally since the 80s.
I do think it's part of that for many of the Republicans in Congress and in the Senate who come to Washington to undermine government. I mean, that's really their stated aim. They want to reduce the size of government. They want to slash government. I think for them, that's why they're going along with what the president's doing. I think for the president, it's all about the border and immigration and his nativism agenda. And that really is what's driving him.
Yeah. Amen. Congressman O'Connor taking your calls. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
15 minutes before the hour, back with more of your calls for Congressman Ro Khanna in just a moment. And welcome back. Joe in Olympia, Washington, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, my name's Joe. I'm from Olympia. Is that who you're talking to?
You are. You are on the air, Joe.
Okay, thank you very much. Gentlemen, hello. I was going to talk about one thing, but I think in the interest of time, I'm going to go to another. It seems as if people's understanding of government is almost zero. And that seems to have devolved over since Reagan over the last decades. And an idea that occurs to me is if you guys could initiate, endorse funding for people to contribute to, or find the funds to put on a civic show on PBS that's done well, maybe with Hollywood stars who would be willing to donate their time, and actually begin to educate America about what government is, who government is, what the agencies do, what the province of all the agencies are, and just what's at stake in, basically dismantling government. I think that it's almost desperately needed, in my opinion. It's like civics through PBS, and I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. And how about as a starting point, just reintroducing a national standardized civics curriculum to our public schools?
Tom, I couldn't agree with you more or the caller more. I mean, and frankly, the Republicans who keep talking about needing a common American project or a common American identity should be for a national standard for civics education. I don't think PBS would be enough. I mean, the people who probably watch PBS or kids who watch PBS are already the ones who may be informed. The point is, the problem is the folks who are not watching PBS, and what are they learning about governance, and how can they participate in self-governance if they aren't being taught about these basic principles? So this is a huge education gap in our country. It's probably one of our biggest challenges. It's as critical as the gap in science or technology education. And I would support any initiative to help fund at a very early age that kind of education.
Tarek in Griffin, Georgia. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, Ro Khanna. I'm a big supporter of yours, and I just wanted to let you know that we actually see the work that you're doing. But I do have a question. I wonder if there's been a lot of talk about using Trump trying to use certain things for national, invoke national security, and I was trying to ask it climate change, and could we start having this conversation to actually, you know, start seeing climate change as a national security issue, as the CIA does, and to not have it a partisan issue as it, you know, as it typically is in mainstream media, but an economic issue. You know, we could use, you know, real funding to spur, you know, job growth, to spur,
great,
spur,
great,
you know,
question,
you know, stuff like
Tarek,
that.
Tarek, we just have 20 seconds for him to answer your question. Here we go.
That's okay. A great point. We absolutely need to look at climate change as a national crisis, and there are a lot of things we can do, starting with the military. I mean, the military can transition off certain fleets they use that are high fossil fuels, moving into more battery technology. I want to do want to make a point, though. No Democratic president would invoke a national emergency. I mean, Rubio was on there saying, well, what if they invoke a national emergency and start seizing industry? Well, the Democrats have actually read the Constitution, and in Youngstown, Justice Jackson held Truman unconstitutional when he seized industry because there was a labor strike, and that was with the Korean War. And what the president doesn't realize under the emergency.
Khanna, taking your calls. Jeff in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, Tom and Representative Khanna. Good day to both of you, and thanks for taking my call. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Representative Khanna. Thanks for being a regular contributor to this great show. And Tom, you commented in the first hour how Trump has stocked his cabinet with people who want to destroy public education, poison our air, water, and climate, start a war with Iran, and continue to sell arms to the murderous Saudi regime, aiding them in the continuing humanitarian disaster they've wrought in Yemen. It's obviously a far cry from the drain the swamp rhetoric Trump used campaigning. And it also reminds me of Hank Paulson, who reportedly, I think you mentioned this, Tom, was allowed to leave Goldman Sachs with a $700 million tax-free severance package and take the job as George W. Bush's Treasury Secretary. And my personal theory is that Paulson randomly added three zeros to that $700 million figure and ended up giving his bankster buddy $700 billion during that 2008 crash. But my question to you, Representative Khanna, is can Congress do anything to make these greedy sociopaths take a financial hit rather than, as it is now, incentivize them if they want to leave the private sector for a cabinet-level position?
It's a great point. It's one of the things that I have found the most disconcerting about Washington, D.C., and I served in the Obama administration for a few years in the Commerce Department, is that people would cash out on these jobs. I mean, Harry Truman, the president who won the World War II, there's a famous letter when he was invited post his presidency to speak where he says, we'd love to come, but I don't know if I can afford the train ride to get there. That used to be public service. I mean, you would leave and you wouldn't be cashing out. And now people are often looking at their next possibility before they even take their current job. I personally believe we need to have a ban, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, of going back into the industry that you came from. We need to probably have some separation that you can't come directly from an industry that you're going to regulate. But we need a large amount of thinking on both the members of Congress. I think there should be a ban on members of Congress lobbying or going in to industries which they were regulating, and in the executive branch, because the revolving door has really led to corruption.
Gene in Guerneville, California, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hello. Gentlemen, I think our national problem could have been solved 20 years ago with the trial of Tom DeLay, but we seem to be reliving the whole thing. The GRU, through an outfit called NAFTA-CIB, was funneling money with him and Jack Abramoff, and he ended up resigning his speakership, eventually going to trial, and getting pardoned. Hello. And here we are again. And I just don't want to see that ever happen again, but it is. And all of this, it's the money. And you're talking about institutional knowledge. Does Congress, is there any way to make sure that our congressmen right now, and you included, are not taking Russian money, even unbeknownst?
Well, we have financial disclosure requirements, and obviously in my case, I don't take PAC or lobbyist money, and I don't have a super PAC, so I take money just from individuals, and they're limited to $2,700, and you have to disclose every single individual that writes you a contribution. Now, I suppose you would not know if there was one if an individual was an agent for someone, but when you take individual contributions, it becomes much harder for foreign entities to interfere because they can't just set up a PAC, or they can't set up a super PAC, or they can't funnel hundreds of thousands of dollars. So my view is that the answer is to overturn Citizens United or get rid of PAC money and super PACs and move towards a system which is financed simply from individuals, and then allow ultimately every individual to participate. I have a proposal with Russ Feingold for Democracy Dollars where I say we ought to give every voter $50 to participate on federal elections and make every voter a donor, and that would dwarf the special interest money.
Charisse in Poulsbo, Washington. We just have a minute and a half till the end of the hour, Charisse. Quick question for Congressman Connor.
Okay. I was wondering about the Democratic platform for 220. And, Tom, I know you've read the book, The Best Roosevelt's Second Bill of Rights. And I think if the Democrats would read the Second Bill of Rights, just the list of them, and campaign on that alone, every person in America would resonate with that. And it's also the answer to what would Jesus do? He would do everything on that list. I mean, if religion is important to people, you should read it. It's amazing.
Thank you, Charisse.
I appreciate it. Well, you may be in luck. I think Bernie Sanders may do that. With the corollary, as of course you know and Tom knows, that the New Deal was not very fair to African Americans who were excluded. So we want to have, I think, the Second Bill of Rights, but one that's inclusive along racial lines. And that may be in very much Sanders' 2020 campaign.
Yeah, be a good thing. So in the 10 seconds we have left, what should we be looking for this coming week?
Well, we're still working to keep government open, but the one thing we're not going to do is give this president what he wants. There's no Democrat who's going to vote for border wall money. We're going to continue to make the case that this president is doing real damage to real people. I mean, I was at the members' dining room today, and someone came in to me sheepishly and said, you know, bro, brother works for a local hotel, and there's DC is dead, and no one's there, and he's getting hurt. I mean, people, this is affecting real lives.
It really is. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.